We're back live from Circa's Stadium Swim in Las Vegas. Here are your hosts, Layla Rahimi and Marshall Harris.
We love being here at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas, and we're not just saying that. Marshall got to see Stadium Swim for the first time today, so that was a monumental experience for him, and now we get to hang out in the cabana with Sean King, former NFL quarterback, Super Bowl 37 champion, here for not one but two segments in the cabana. This is the life, man.
It is a good life, and Sean King implementing his knowledge into our life has been a blessing for not just us, but all the listeners, the viewers on Twitch. I think everyone is enjoying what is being spouted from this non-pulpit, if you will.
Our Twitch mob is always supportive, Sean. You get to see him right.
You
get to see him right here in the comments on the side.
Okay.
But then also, we do have some positive texts. Sean King is one of my favorite guests of yours. Tells it like it is. 708, this is the best Vegas guest. Love him every year. 773, Sean King is so awesome. Good get. So
I appreciate
see,
that.
There
I appreciate
you go.
It.
And I do appreciate what you had to say when it came to standing on business on your quarterback opinions. And
absolutely.
Where we left off with you, I think, was a really good point about those you trust in the NFL being teachers of quarterbacks specifically and why.
Absolutely.
What else can you tell us about what you think Ben Johnson will do for Caleb Williams in that respect?
Well, for context, during the break, I showed Marshall and Layla a futures bet I made on the Bears to win the NFC North. And I view Ben Johnson in such a high regard because there are a lot of guys that can design offense, that can call plays. There are very few guys that can fit personnel to said play calling. And what he did an amazing job in Detroit was he made David Montgomery and Jahmyr Gibbs effective. He had Sam Laporta and Armon St. Rob Brown effective. He brought Jamison Williams and got him into areas to do. And so that's why when I look at his Bears skill set on offense, I mean, they've got pieces. Colston Loveland and Cole Kmet, you know, DJ Moore and
Roma Dunze
and Luther Burden, who they drafted. Who's the young kid, number 10, that's been balling in the preseason?
Olamide Zaccheaus, too.
Zaccheaus from Washington. He caught the first touchdown. But the kid that played, he made a bunch of good plays in the last game. Light skin,
Tyler Scott,
tall.
Was it?
Yeah, Tyler Scott. Yeah he's right. Number 10.
Yeah.
Sorry, we wanted to see more out of him because of his speed, but we hadn't in previous years.
Yeah, we've been wanting to see more out of him, and this wasn't the first year we've been –
But now that Ben's there, Ben knows how to take those skill sets and put them in places to be productive and successful. And you've seen the defense coming over the last couple of years. They're young. They're fast. They run to the ball. They're physical. Offensive line is getting better now. You know, when people always tell me we don't have a good offensive line, who in the hell in the NFL has a good old line?
The Eagles.
The Eagles, yeah.
And they really, that's left for, you know, like they tush-push all short yardage. I mean – My point is the defensive linemen in the National Football League are so big, fast, strong, and athletic. There's nobody that really has an offensive line that can just completely dominate the fronts they're going to see. So once you get to that slightly above average point, which I think Chicago's teetering on, then you can win a lot of football. So I'm all in on the Bears. I hope I don't get pie in my face, but I wanted to explain my position and why I have that position for this year. It's based on structurally sound information, people. It's not based on hope, which was last year's positivity around the team.
Well, that's the difference between
Luke
your Getsy, bet and a lot of
Luke
other
Getsy
bets.
Getsy was the OC. Caleb Williams coming in. Like, he's never listening to Luke Getsy.
Well, and Ben Shane Waldron,
right, yeah. So, I mean, this is a better situation.
Well, I guess my question to you is, because you put that futures bet down, now I'm wondering how you're seeing the rest of the division and whether a team like Detroit, which lost both its coordinators, takes a step back. And J.J. McCarthy, maybe you don't have the belief in him. And then what about the Packers? How do you see the rest of the division in that you're able to not just say the Bears are going to be better, but elevate them to the top of the division?
Great question, Marshall. And here's what I think. Detroit takes a step back simply because the head guy isn't an X's and O's guy. He's a culture builder.
CEO type.
So he loses both X's and O guys from offense and defense, and a special one in Ben Johnson, who knew how to make all those pieces work effectively. Green Bay, something's wrong with Jordan Love. And until I see some signs of him fixing what's wrong, he's skittish in the pocket. When it gets chaotic, he crumbles. He's afraid to push the ball down the field. Until I see that change, I'm off of Green Bay.
Well, also, he hops on his back foot a lot, too.
Yeah, that's from watching Rodgers. See, that's why I don't like a young quarterback around a accomplished veteran quarterback that has bad fundamentals. Mm. Remember, association means assimilation. You watch it every day, practice, game. Guess what? Every backup in the league that's behind a prominent starter, when he gets in the game, look at his mannerisms. They all mimic the guy that they see all the time.
Unless they're like a Joe Flacco super established veteran, been doing this for a decade.
Absolutely. At Minnesota, I actually was J.J. McCartney's OC at IMG. Excellent kid. He's a football junkie. I don't think he's the problem with Minnesota. I'm not sure how good Minnesota is defensively.
Really? Yeah. Well, we're going to find out real quick.
We are.
Week one, Monday Night Football.
I feel like they still have the talent, and they have Flores. You know, so he's going to figure out how to use that talent to the best of his ability.
Last time I saw Minnesota in a big game, they were getting blitzkrieged.
Fair. That's a fair criticism.
But how much is
observation?
How much is that on them, though, when it comes to, you know, just having different personnel than they should have had that season?
Maybe. But, again, the context for my opinions on the rest of the division was why I thought plus 525 on the Bears had value. Mm-hmm. I don't see a juggernaut in the other three teams. And if the Bears take another step, remember, they weren't successful record-wise last year, but they were competitive. You know, now I think Ben takes that talent and elevates it because of his attention to detail. And I like them to win some of these close games and Caleb to take the next step. I don't know. Is Caleb eligible for comeback player of the year?
Sure.
Yeah, I mean,
do you have to come off an injury?
No. In fact, they wanted to be more performance-based, like just your numbers versus last year's numbers. Sean King here with us in person, Circa Resort and Casino. We're not inside like we were yesterday. We are at Stadium Swim, my first trip here. I know Sean's been here before. Layla's been here before. Want to remind you, Football Talk on the Score presented by Paramount Plus. You can't count on much these days, but you can always count on Sundays with the NFL on CBS and Paramount Plus. Watch your local NFL game live every Sunday on CBS and Paramount Plus all season long. Visit ParamountPlus.com/NFL to get started today. He's a Super Bowl winning quarterback. He's got the Bears winning the division per a futures bet. And so you brought him up. So I got to go back to what I was talking about last segment before you were on. Aaron Rodgers, mm-hmm. Pittsburgh Steelers. What are the Steelers ceiling, in your opinion, with now Aaron Rodgers, a competent quarterback back there for the first time in a long time?
This was one of the few places Rodgers could go and not get the head coach fired. That's what I think of Aaron Rodgers in 2025.
Okay. So what do you think the Steelers' ceiling is as a performance this
year? Will be the first year in Tomlin's career they finished below 500.
Wow.
You heard it.
That's your prediction?
Absolutely. There couldn't be a more, vast difference between star quarterback and OC than Aaron Rodgers and Arthur Smith. Arthur Smith wants to play the game one way. He wants to run, play field position, you know, be conservative, get the game to the fourth quarter. There's no way Rodgers is going for that. But Rodgers' mind and body are detached at this point from a ability standpoint. He can see it, but he can't do it consistently. And so this is going to be fascinating to watch from a distance.
I think, though, he's been humbled a little bit by his experience
when
in New
where?
York. His experience in New York.
When and where?
His experience in New York.
Well, he ran out with the flag and then he tore his Achilles.
He won. He got everybody fired.
Yes.
He's the only one that maintained position. The head coach is now a coordinator. The coordinators are position coaches.
Yeah. People have taken steps back.
Nobody got paid while he was there. They didn't pay Garrett Wilson after he left.
You don't think all, Sean, that he cares about his legacy in a way to say, I can make this one push, knowing that I'm not as good as I used to be.
This has nothing to do with his legacy. He's a first ballot Hall of Famer if the Steelers go 0-17 this year.
I'm just saying, watching what Tom Brady did late, you wants to one-up that and say, I can take the team far too?
And when I say he's not Brady, he's not wired like Brady.
Oh.
Brady is a process, structure, football is everything guy. Aaron is a free spirit. Like, he's that one child that you just know, like, if I ever get a call that somebody, like, that's a child of mine, like, put their name on the ballot to be president, and had never been in politics before, like, that's Roger.
Wow. That's a good analogy. That's actually a good analogy.
I had never been in politics before.
That's Roger.
That works these days.
Yeah. Brady's the guy that was on student council by government. You know, he had a local elected office. You know, they were sitting like, he's that
worked
person.
Worked his way up.
Yeah. I mean, they couldn't be more different.
He embraces tradition.
Yes.
He embraces the process.
Yeah. Rogers wants to go out there in the day of the game, come up with new hand signals. You know, because...
That's why they always got to bring his receivers with him.
Right.
I'm sorry. I did not mean to laugh that hard. But just that what did you think of that? Like, having played the game when that article came out and that story came out about that being so much a part of the function of the offense, what did you think?
Well, in Aaron's defense, he's a savant. His ability to process at the line of scrimmage is all-time great.
Agreed.
But the problem is, and I was alluding to this a little earlier, it's like having a brilliant offensive coach, but he doesn't really know how to pass that brilliance on to the quarterback so he'd understand. Aaron, just because you see it, everybody else got to be on the same page, buddy. You know, like, and that takes practice. And I think here's where the difference is between Brady and Rodgers. Brady wants to rep it. Brady wants to be in there. We're going to do this 100 times so we get in the game. Like, Rodgers used to Devontae, and they've been together, Adams, and they've been together for a decade. And, you know, he can wink with his right eye or, you know, make his lip move. And they, like, it's not like that if you don't put the work in. And at this point in his career, Rodgers got other stuff going on outside of football.
Yeah, and I think you're definitely right in that he is brilliant in what he's able to do, but when you've had so much change that he's had going to different teams now, trying to take his ideas other places where people haven't been built around that, it's hard to implement, especially if you're like, I'm going to show up when I feel like showing up.
You know what Rodgers found out? What it's like to actually be a regular quarterback in the National Football League.
Ooh.
See, these guys that get drafted by one organization and stay there 10-plus years, your Peyton Mannings, your Tom Brady's, your Aaron Rodgers, the system is pretty much in the same part of the diverse systems that we see in the National Football League. You don't know what kind of advantage that is. Like, us regular quarterbacks out here, man, listen, I was in Tampa.
I love this.
For 5 years. My first 4 years, I had a different offensive coordinator. I had Mike Shula in year one, Les Steckel in year two, Clyde Christensen in year three, John Gruden in year four.
Ooh, that's tough.
Absolutely.
For 100%. Any young quarterback.
Right. Well, old quarterback, that's tough. And so, like, I think Aaron is starting to see now the work that has to go in when it's not, you know, just building another brick on top of the bricks we've already laid. You got to go in and start all the way from scratch.
Humor me here, Sean. If Aaron Rodgers was to somehow have more of maybe, say, a Joe Flacco approach to his job this year, somebody who has been able to kind of figure it out as a non-starter and get another chance in a different place, then would you say the ceiling is different for the Steelers?
No, because my second reason I don't like the Steelers, and I hate to say this because Mike Tomlin is my frat brother, and I do think he's one of the top three football coaches on the planet. They're not that good around Aaron.
Yeah.
Okay.
They really got DK Metcalf, and he's more of a athletic specimen than he is refined, elite route runner at receiver, and he's by far their best skill player. Like, I mean, there's a drastic drop-off. I know George Pickens was a headache, but I'd like him a lot more if I had that talented headache on the other side of DK Metcalf. Like, talent-wise, in that division, like, ugh.
Yeah, that's a tough road.
Najee Harris is gone. Like, I know they weren't enamored and they didn't love him, but who they replace him with?
Right. I do want to ask you about this, though. You touched on it a little bit earlier. IMG Academy is a concept that I think a lot of people have heard about, but we don't necessarily know how to absorb it, even people like me who have covered high school sports for so long. And to be J.J. McCarthy's OC there,
yeah,
too.
Yeah, we got a lot of players.
Yes, you have. I mean, it's like a mini college and like a mini really good Power 5 one.
J.C. Latham was on an offensive line, Tyler Booker.
How do you explain like that atmosphere? And then also, what were your observations of him? Because we're going to see him in the division and he's a local guy.
J.J.'s box office.
Okay.
Absolutely.
That's the same word you use to describe Jaden Daniels now.
Yeah. He's, as far as his approach to the game, he's not as talented as Jaden. I mean, but hell, Jaden might be the most talented overall quarterback in National Football League. Just skill set wise, like, who's faster than Jaden?
That deep ball he threw was pretty
good.
Who's
got better ball location? Who can locate the ball on all three levels? We're just talking about strictly talent. He's not as accomplished as the top guys. But when you just look at talent, I mean, where's his weakness? Maybe his frame is a little thin, but so far he's been durable. I mean, that probably the only knock on Jaden from a talent. So saying JJ is not as talented as Jaden is not
a knock.
Right. JJ has the right approach. He reminds me of a Drew Brees, but he's more athletic than Drew. But his approach to the game, like his attention to detail, like he wants to know everything. Like he's the kind of guy like, okay, why are we running duo like this versus the odd front? Like you don't get young quarterbacks that want to know the game of football at that level. Like that's JJ McCarthy.
But wow. It really is the defense because you believe in McCarthy and we know that the quarterback whisper is in his ear. And he had a year to watch on the sidelines.
They got Aaron Jones and Jordan Mason at running back. That old line's a little older. Addison suspended for a little bit. Listen, I wasn't trying to knock Minnesota out of playoffs. I'm just trying to elevate Chicago
to the top,
the first in the North.
A lot of scouts have talked about his leadership, though, JJ McCarthy, and you got to witness it firsthand.
He's a football guy. He's a football guy. And to IMG, if you have a super talented athlete that you don't mind going to high school, not living with you, IMG the best
situation
option ever. Yeah, facilities are unbelievable. They have structure there. It's discipline. They're accountable to the whereabouts of the athletes, and you couldn't get better preparation from the athletic side. No matter what the sport is, Olympic sport, basketball, football, baseball, it's just as a parent, are you comfortable with my child going through high school somewhere else, not living with me?
Yeah, I think it is football factory may be the wrong term because they do this with athletes to prepare every sport, I feel like, for Division I. But, like, if you had to say what the mission statement was or how you describe it to somebody, you know, what would you call it?
It's almost like going to the military in a sense in that you're sacrificing this adolescent, early adulthood part of your life in order that later on in life you can reap the benefits of being 45-plus. Mm. You know, so as a kid, you're going to give up high school, like a lot of the traditional things, because they're focused, academics and sports. Like, they're regimented. But if it manifests itself in a scholarship and that turns into, you know, potentially being a pro athlete, then it's worth it. Just like the military. Like, I go away and, you know, I stay in, I retire. Mm-hmm. You know, I get full benefits. I go do a consulting job somewhere else. And, you know, 45 and on is great.
Let me just tell you, if you want the IMG Academy mission statement, well, I just happened to look it up on the website.
I didn't know.
Purpose: to empower student athletes to win their future, preparing them for college and for life.
Their tuition is $80,000 a year. Of course, they're going to have their own well-marketed statement.
But you know what? IMG
for somebody
does a great
to explain
job
it
of,
to us, that's a different thing.
The thing I think they do a great job of, though, they've got levels of competition for everybody. People just know about the national teams. But we got three football teams.
Yeah.
You know, so if you want your child just to be in that structure and get that kind of, you know, guidance and tutelage, they've got other programs, you know, and levels of competition that kid can participate in.
Good to know. Sean King with the knowledge. Anything else you want to say before we let you go live from Vegas here?
I just want to give a shout out to everybody at Circa, Derek Stevens, if you guys ever get to Vegas. He's one of the last, you know, throwback.
Old school
guys we got. Like, he's on the floor. The Stadium Swim is unbelievable. Everything about this place is great. Always good to see you guys. Thanks for having me. Hopefully I gain some friends this time.
Oh, they'll love you now. Now that you got the futures bet. The futures bet is going
to
do wonders
for
your mentions.
But I'll say this to close. If I didn't believe it, I wouldn't say it.
Thank you.
Love that about you.
And this is a great one, too, our text line, 773. Sean is all right, even though he's a noop, LOL. Eric in Uptown.
Shout out to all the noobs out there, baby.
We love the community. Sean King, this has been a lot of fun. Thanks for hanging for two segments with us.
Man, thanks for having me. Now I'm going to sign up for Survivor. Hopefully I'm not lighting $1,000 on fire.
We have to check in with you during the season to see how you're doing in Survivor.
Let's do it early, just in case.
What? That's the great Sean King. Always fun to have him here from Vegas. We are live from the Cabana at Circa Resort and Casino at Stadium Swim. We have more coming up. We'll get a GM in the house. Former GM Mike Mayock is next. More football on the score.
Layla Rahimi, Marshall Harris, Rahimi and Harris. Middays 10 a.m. to 2 on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score.
I think a fast start would be important for us. to gain the confidence and really to believe. And I talked about this before. When you have a team that's walking into a stadium and they expect to win rather than hoping to win and hoping things go well for them, I think that's the different mentality. So to start fast and seeing the aggressive mindset going into these early games, and if we can start off, and I mean, two divisional opponents, what a great opportunity to get started.
You know what I heard in that? Not just Ryan Poles on Fox. I heard, don't start no stuff, won't be no stuff.
Hasn't stuff already been started, though?
If you don't give a damn, we don't. Okay. This is Rahimi and Harris. We are live from Stadium Swim.
I'm glad you cut yourself short on that.
You know what
FCC
I did.
FCC violations and whatnot.
Exactly. We're live from Stadium Swim. We are at the Cabana here at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. Happy to do so. Happy to talk football. And really happy to be joined by our next guest, Mike Mayock. He is an analyst for NFL Network and Westwood One now. He was at the Washington and Baltimore practice yesterday. And, of course, you know him as the longtime NFL executive as well. Mike, thank you so much for joining us here in Rahimi and Harris on 670 The Score.
Yeah, my pleasure. You, first of all, you guys look a little too casual.
That's the plan, Mike. That's the plan.
Yeah, Mike is on Twitch, and he's in a proper office, and the contrast couldn't be more obvious today, could it?
And second of all, the Washington-Baltimore scrimmage got called off yesterday. Both teams had too many injuries, decided not to go through with it, which was a shame. I was looking forward to it, but I certainly understand.
So that's where I want to start, Mike, because it's interesting you talk about it's that time of the preseason. You know, the four-game preseason has been in the rearview mirror for a while. Now that we're down to three games, how surprised are you that teams are, such as the Chiefs and the Bears tonight, playing their starters in this final preseason game?
Yeah, I'm not surprised, to be really honest with you. Andy Reid always has. Bill Belichick always did. I mean, there were no sacred cows for Bill or Andy. They start their quarterbacks no matter whether their names are Brady and Mahomes or not. That's just kind of the way they go about it. And because the NFL has kind of added that extra week in between the final preseason game and the first regular season game, I think a lot of head coaches are very worried about whether or not they'll come out sharp week one without at least getting the starters lathered up for this final preseason game.
Mike, I also do want to ask you about even just what you said. It's a good example. There's always a risk in the preseason to have happen, whether it's needing to move your joint practices or postpone them, cancel them, whatever you need to do, or needing to just protect from the fear of injury. Knowing that that is something that has evolved throughout the league when it's come to how that's happened over time, whether it was having fewer preseason games, whether it was having more practices scattered throughout the year, what do you think is the biggest challenge right now for teams, just especially coming from a former executive like you are in a GM?
Yeah, it's a really good question and a really fine line, and there's no finite correct answer. I've been around some head coaches that have had major injuries in joint practice or preseason games, and because of that, they're almost scarred. It's like they do not want to play anybody. Their whole goal is to get to week one as healthy as possible. I've been around a lot of other coaches that are kind of like, hey, it's football. Let's go. I got to get my guys ready. And it doesn't really matter. You know, you can't be afraid of injuries. And I was really surprised because I was kind of in the latter group. And when I took the Raider job, I remember how nervous I was every friggin' preseason game, every joint practice. I think the first year in Oakland, we lost our starting right guard, Gabe Jackson, in a scrimmage against the Rams. And that's when it becomes real. That now you're not just talking about stuff. Now it's real. You got to find another right guard. So I understand both sides of the equation, but I think I will always kind of come out on the side of you can't be afraid and you got to get your guys ready to play.
Brian Robinson gets traded, and we knew he was going to be on the move from the Washington Commanders to the San Francisco 49ers for a future sixth-round pick. I'm curious as to when you look at the Bears running back room, if you're comfortable with what they have going into the regular season, being that Ben Johnson's calling the shots.
Well, I mean, apparently Ryan Poles is comfortable. I think now is the time, this last couple of weeks, when every GM and every pro personnel department in the league are talking to each other. on a daily basis. Hey, where are you strong? Where are you a little light? What do you need? A small percentage of it comes out to the general public, like the Brian Robinson thing, especially when the team wants it to come out. But for the most part, we don't hear all that kind of stuff. And from my perspective, on the outside looking in, I go, yeah, I mean, outside of DeAndre Swift right now, the Bears have had a bunch of injuries in training camp at the running back position. So what do you really have? Are you happy with Roshan? He's been kind of hurt. Manangai, the rookie seventh round pick, he's been hurt. But apparently, the head coach and the GM have seen enough that they're comfortable that A, the injuries are short term, and B, when the season starts, they feel good about it. And I think one thing I can tell you about the running back position is typically, if you're looking for a guy, it is one of the few positions where you can usually find one, regardless of when it is during the season.
That said, Mike, what did you think of the fact that the Bears were being rumored to be a part of, say, having Ashton Jeanty to trade up for him, and then they end up not drafting a running back in a really robust class until that seventh round you mentioned Manangai?
Yeah, I mean, we took a running back in the first round with the Raiders, and we took a lot of criticism. It was Josh Jacobs, and it turned out okay. So there's all the conversation about the quote value of running backs. And I do believe that there are a quantity of running backs every year that come out of college football. And there's actually more pretty good running backs available than you need. That's why the market for them, as far as dollars and cents, has been limited. However, when there's a quality guy, a high quality guy, a Saquon Barkley, the kid in Baltimore, Josh Jacobs, when they become available, you got to go pay them. So what this tells me, again, outside looking in at the Bears, what it tells me is that Ryan Poles and Ben Johnson are really happy with DeAndre Swift, and what they're looking for is a complimentary back, and they think Roshan Johnson is that guy. So that's kind of what their inactivity tells me, and obviously that decision's up to them.
Mike Mayock, the analyst for NFL Network and Westwood One, joining us here on Raheem Ian Harris as we broadcast live from Circa Resort and Casino Stadium Swim, where the weather is quite lovely. Mike, I want to ask you about Caleb Williams, because it really wouldn't be a segment if I didn't ask you about Caleb Williams. What do you see right now compared to maybe what you saw last year in the regular season? I know it's just been one preseason game, unless you've been able to see him at training camp.
Well, I give you guys credit. The Caleb Williams question would become first, so thank you for that. That was good. But yeah, you can. How do I put this? Preseason games matter, but they're just part of the process. And I went back last week. I saw the game and went back and watched it on tape. And he threw what, 10 passes, no sacks. The thing that hit me immediately was that there was no hesitation. He wasn't patting the ball and waiting for him to come open. Even on a short out route, I forget who he threw it to, but the corner bailed from press coverage, and there was no hesitation. He ripped it in there. Picked up 7 or 8 yards, I think it was. And I was like, wow, that looks different to me. He was under center. He was in gun. He threw a seam route to number three receiver to the wide side against safety split on second and two, I think, and picked up 29 or 30. That ball was beautiful. It was out on time, over the linebacker, underneath the safety, and he followed it right up with a layered throw to the tight end, the first round kid, on a crossing route. So really, to sum up, and it's only 10 passes, and it's only preseason, but I'd be cautiously optimistic if I was a Bears fan that the message of make your reads, get the ball out, be decisive, be accurate. So far, that's what I saw in a very limited time frame.
We're talking to Mike Mayock, the former NFL executive and, of course, also NFL Network analyst. I know he also is working for Westwood One and has an Eagles podcast with Lee Mayock. So I know that that's very top of mind for you. What do you make of the NFC? What are your takeaways? Do you think the Eagles repeat as Super Bowl champions, for example?
I would tell you that in the NFC, let's go big picture first. I think the two most talented teams in the league are the Eagles and the Ravens. As far as the NFC itself is concerned, three teams have been in the NFC have been in seven of the last Super Bowls. The Eagles three, San Francisco two, and the Rams two. And I think the Eagles are the number one seed, if you look at it that way. I think Detroit is probably number two. I happen to be bullish on Washington again this year. And I think if Matthew Stafford is healthy, I think the Rams, not many people are talking about the Rams, but I really like what Les Snead and that group of guys are doing out there. I think the Rams are really healthy. And, when you look at the Chicago's division, I don't know if Minnesota can be as good as they were last year. I don't know if the quarterback play will be as good as it was last year. But if Detroit and Minnesota are as good as they were last year, it's going to be a really tough division because I think Green Bay and Chicago have gotten better.
Mike, we're up against it, but I do want to ask you about Jaden Daniels since you just mentioned the Washington Commanders. Sean King was just on with us last segment saying that he could be the most talented quarterback in the NFL. Is there a chance that Caleb Williams can catch and eclipse him in this season because Ben Johnson and now what you've seen from Caleb Williams?
You're saying, I'm saying, ask that again. Can Caleb Williams catch Jaden Daniels? Is that what you
Yes,
said?
basic. That's the basic question, yes.
Oh, man. Now, preface this. I had the exact same grade on those two kids coming out of college. I had them as the two top quarterbacks and the exact same grade. So I'm big believers in their talent. Now, I did Washington's two playoff wins last year. They went down and beat Tampa Bay at Tampa Bay, and Jaden Daniels made every friggin' play in the second half that mattered, which for a rookie quarterback is mind-boggling. And then I was in Detroit the following week when they put a whooping on Detroit. This Jaden Daniels, I'm gonna tell you, there's four franchise quarterbacks in the league right now. You guys know who they are, four AFC quarterbacks. If this kid plays at the same level this year, there'll be five. And Caleb Williams has got a long way to go before we start comparing the two.
Need to hear the assessment. Thank you so much, Mike.
That was great. Mike Mayock, thank you so much for joining us. And if you want to check that Eagles podcast out, I believe it is called Believe in Eagles, BLEAV. So that's another one of the things that Mike does. NFL Network, Westwood One, and hanging out with us. Thank you so much,
Thanks, Mike.
Thank you, guys.
That was Mike Mayock being responsible and joining us from his office and not from Circa like us.
I don't think we look too comfortable. I think we look at the appropriate level of comfortable.
When a man has made it to that level in the league, I'm paying attention and feeling guilty.
I don't feel guilty at all.
Not too guilty. We have more to come here on Raheemi and Harris on 670 The Score as we are live from the Cabana at Stadium Swim here at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas as part of their football contest weekend. We wrap it all up and give some final observations next.
Raheemi and Harris, middays 10 a.m. to 2 on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score.
Hello, this is Raheemi and Harris from the aforementioned song that Baby T just played, Vegas. We are live from Circa Resort and Casino at Stadium Swim in the Cabana, having a lovely time. Thanks to our guests who came out for this one. We had Sean King, who is fabulous, Mike Mayock, and also Sam Munson. I'm looking forward to hearing what his panel has to offer from Circa tomorrow. That's great.
It's been a great week here at Circa. I'm sad that we have to leave. We could just do next week's shows from here if they want to, figure that out later.
Yeah, and by the way, we have Sky Basketball on The Score tomorrow. Chuck Swirsky and I have the call there with Alyssa Bergamini, so I will be preparing for that as well as watching the Bears game and then getting ready to call the Sky game back in Chicago. So I will see you there. But it has been a great day here at Circa. And also, again, just, such a change. And we were trying to figure out how to bring that to you in the most A, efficient, and B, respectful way possible when it came to remembering Ryan Sandberg and the celebration of his life that happened earlier today during our shift. And Chuck Swirsky, yet again, bringing him up for wonderful reasons as he was able to help in that. And also he and Mark Grody anchoring coverage from the studio, doing an excellent job as we hope that tries to give some people some peace when it comes to grieving Ryan Sandberg and taken from us way, way, way too soon.
And as you know, sometimes we talk about closure in situations such as this, but after watching and listening to Ryan Sandberg's funeral, I was just remembering a mantra that I've always tried to live with. May his or her memory be a blessing. And I think for him specifically, that is such the case for so many people that did and did not even know him personally.
Also, while we're here, we do have some giveaways for you, so let's do that now. Caller 6 to the Scores contest line, 312-540-0670, 540-0670. We'll win a pair of tickets to see the Cubs against Washington at Wrigley Field on Sunday, September 7th. That's the day before the game. It's all provided by Bosch Power Tools. The more you Bosch, the more you feel like a Bosch. So that's right. Caller 6 to the Scores contest line right now. I think about what happened and what we heard earlier today, and I always think it's how people made you feel. And when you hear the stories about how Ryan Sandberg didn't just make fans feel watching him, but how he made people feel for those of us who have interacted with him and been lucky enough to do so, it was very easy to see the common thread there. Just a humble man who really found common ground with so many people in so many wonderful ways.
Yeah, I think Father Thomas Hurley probably put it best when he talked about the fact that at the end of the day, this is a man who liked to put the spotlight on others rather than himself.
And I believe that's available to you if you want to listen back to the Odyssey app. You can check out the Rewind feature. If you missed that earlier today, our coverage went from about 10 o'clock this morning until around 11:40 or so. So I strongly recommend you go back and listen. I believe Bob Costas spoke a little after 11 a.m. If you want to go back to what he had to say in his wonderful speech as well, and just what his words, I think, meant to all of this. Costas saying that because he called that Ryan Sandberg game, they developed a 40-year connection because of moments so special. And when I think about what sports means, that was a wonderful way of putting it.
Connected to community, that's something that Ryan Sandberg did, something that he did as a player, but something that he did certainly in his post-playing days. If you look at what he became as far as a Chicago icon, a Cubs icon, even well past retirement age.
Yes, absolutely. Also, the Cubs do have a game tonight, of course. We've talked about it. Marshall and I discussed when we would have started Kyle Tucker, and it probably would have been even after the upcoming series tonight against the Angels. At last check here early on the West Coast, where we are 2 hours behind thanks to Vegas time in the summer, we actually, I feel like we actually, at that point when we checked the pitching probables, still said TBD for both teams. Do we get any update there?
No, it's still TBD for both teams, so it'll be interesting to see exactly how that plays out. Remember, they were coming off that doubleheader, and we were wondering who was going to do what. Do they go to a six-man rotation? Do they start the best five starters? Then we have a discussion. Who are the best five starters? Remember, Javier Assad sent down, rejoined the team. He's available to pitch. You've got a lot of different ways you can go with this as far as how they want to set up the rotation for what is a huge nine-game road trip. I want to remind people, 7-2. That's the mark they need to hit if they want to make up some ground here on the division leaders.
Right, and then they've got the day off after the Angels series before they continue that West Coast road trip against the Giants for 3 games. I also want to point out that Sam Brunero, our intrepid clubhouse reporter who takes pictures outside of the Cubs clubhouse and catches people going in, did take a picture of Javier Assad. So does that factor in here? We know we got option. I don't love it when teams burn options, and I understand it's a necessary evil. But that guy's career is in my mind as well, you know?
I'm just wondering if he can get back into the top five in the starting rotation based on what Colin Ray did his last time out. When you're talking about Matthew Boyd, Shota Imanaga, Cade Horton, Jameson Taillon, and now that's 4 guys. So who's the 5th guy, or do you go to a 6-man rotation?
Yeah, and the last time Javier Assad pitched, I believe he only threw 4 innings, like he was only credited with 4 on the record. So that, I think, factors in as well. But either way, Sam took a picture of him, which means he was in the house yesterday.
Yeah, he's there. The guys are now in Anaheim.
Yes.
Maybe they'll stop by Disneyland on the way to the game. I don't know. I don't know how it works. They definitely need a happy place. The biggest question, of course, is will Kyle Tucker be in the lineup? And if he is in the lineup, where will he hit?
And the exit velos on the balls that Kyle Tucker did hit, he went over 4. He started with the walk. I did keep track of those. So it was 3 unassisted, 86.6 exit velo, mile per hour on that one. Second one where he grounded out short in the fifth, softly in the fifth, that was 5-3. That was a 58.5 mile per hour ball hit. And some of that has to do with what is being thrown at you, too. In the seventh, with the double play that he grounded into, that was 76.2 miles an hour. And then in the ninth, the liner out to center, 93.3 miles an hour. But that was coming off of a ball, I believe, thrown at 100.
At least it was in the air, Layla. At least it was in the air.
Yeah, but I'm going to keep track of that as well, because I feel like when we were trying to figure out how healthy he is and nobody wants to talk about it, that may be one of the indications is the bat speed and the exit velo.
Also, Matt Shaw, feel free to play baseball today. As a starter.
I think he would have. I think it was up to somebody other than him, right?
Yes. And Owen Casey, also feel free to play baseball. And if you want to work Willie Castro in, last time I checked, he can still play the outfield, correct?
Willie Castro can be everywhere. Willie Castro can have
once.
It all.
Just not at once. That's the problem.
We will transition with Matt Spiegel and Lawrence Holmes for what I feel like is the first time in a week and a half next on 670 The Score.